Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T, and of course, Con. We have Bucks taking on the Panthers tonight. Thursday night games in a row. Extremely boring. We should have a very quick show for you. Six teams on a bye this week: Ravens, Colts, Titans, Chargers, Texans, and Bears. It's our first big week of the year. Big bye week of the year. And of course, stick around to the end of the show for Con's picks of the week. Con's added the extra two games last week. Nailed them both. Going 5-2 for the week, which will bring his season record to a very, very impressive 19-13. So I'm going to have to start listening to Con's from now on. Got to have a little faith in Con's. So let's get started. We discuss, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, as we said, first game tonight. Panthers versus Bucks, and the big story from this game, Doug Martin, torn labrum, got hurt last game. There's still no definitive reports at all. I mean, initially they said that he was going to be out for the entire season, and then head coach Greg Schiano came out first and said that he doesn't think it's going to be a full year injury. He's going to be able to come back. They're going out and getting a second opinion. If they haven't figured it out by now, can only assume that he's not going to be out for the entire year. He said his range of motion is back. It's more of a pain tolerance thing than anything else. It's not going to get worse if he does play again. The only thing that concerns me and other Doug Martin owners is they're 0-6. If they lose again tonight, which they're supposed to, then, you know, what are you going to do? He's a young, talented running back. Are you going to bring him back in an 0-7 team? Like, you're not going to want to force him back. It's just, what's the point?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is Doug Martin owners, they have to go forward not being able to rely on Doug Martin coming back.
No.
If he comes back, it's an added bonus, but I think you have to, you know, manage your team like he's not coming back.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing about it, well, he pretty much been moving on without him anyway. He hasn't been productive thus far as it is. But now you have to pretty much waste a roster spot on him because they're just not giving us an answer. And if they haven't, like I said, if they haven't done it by now, it's not a structural problem. So it's going to be more of a week-by-week thing, and just hopefully it doesn't last the rest of the year, kind of like, you know, for lack of a better example, Gronkowski all year. You know, he was supposed to come back before week 8, and it just ended up lasting, you know, every week. Just, all right, I think he's good to go this week. You just never know what's actually going to happen. So, anyway, Mike James will be the starter for Tampa Bay, and he's going against a very underrated Carolina defense, Carolina's averaging almost 20 fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks. They've had a ton of good matchups, and, you know, no different this week. Of course.
Yeah, they got another good one this week.
Yeah, Tampa without Doug Martin. Now, did we look up what's the situation with Mike Williams?
I think he's a game-time decision. I'll look it up again.
The only offensive player worth starting on Tampa Bay is Fitzjackson, who had an NFL-high 22 targets last week. And 2 weeks in a row, he's had two touchdowns per game. So Mike Glennon's absolutely looking to throw his way, and I don't blame him. All you have to do is lob it up, and this guy makes plays. So that's Timothy Wright, fell off the face of the earth. There we go. We mentioned him last week. He's still involved, but he's not someone you want to be starting. As far as Carolina's concerned, this is promising. Steve Smith has scored in back-to-back games after going one of the first 6 weeks without a touchdown.
Yeah, I think Calvin Johnson is the only guy targeted in the red zone more than Steve Smith this year, which it doesn't show up in stats yet, but he has scored in 2 weeks in a row. But, you know, if he's getting targets in the red zone, he's eventually going to get in.
Yeah, as long and Cam Newton's playing better, which just bodes well for both of them. It's someone, all their skill players are having trouble scoring this year. D'Angelo Williams doesn't have a touchdown at all either. I think that's more because Mike Tolbert's taking all the goal line carries, and you know Cam Newton's stolen some touchdowns from him as well. And we have Greg Olsen hasn't scored in four straight. So Brandon LaFell's actually come on of late. Other than that, not too much fancy production. Bucks, they started off as having a good defense, but now there's no man coverage. They've turned to the zone. As you said, it's obviously not been successful since they're 0-6. So
yeah, you don't have to worry about Steve Smith being on Ravens Island tonight. There's no such thing as Ravens Island anymore. But
that left with the Jets. So
yeah,
the
Tampa Bay defense has allowed 3 touchdowns in each of the last 2 games. Last week was to Matt Ryan without Julio Jones and Roddy White. So, I know Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, but the lack of targets, that's...
Yeah, he could absolutely move the ball on the Bucs.
Yeah.
It's almost, especially, all right, in a standard league, say it's non-PPR, it's almost to the point where you'd rather start Mike Tolbert over D'Angelo Williams, just because the best D'Angelo Williams can do is an 80 to 90 yard game. He's not doing, he's not performing, he's not just not that talented anymore. And Tolbert's the guy, he's getting all the goal line carries, and I guess it's, if you could do, your best bet is to find a better option altogether that's not on Carolina. But other than that, let's move on to a more offensive matchup. We have Giants at Eagles. Eli struggled this year, as we all know, especially with turnovers, but he has a nice matchup against the Eagles. Anytime anyone gets to go against Philly, I like what they have to do that week. Brandon Jacobs might miss another week. So if he is out, take a look at Peyton Hillis as a flex option, who actually outscored Adrian Peterson in last Monday night's game.
And it was bad.
I mean, he even said himself, he mentioned that he had jello legs. He hadn't been working out when he got the call from the Giants. So that's completely understandable. So a week of added practice is definitely going to help.
His rushing numbers weren't that good. I think he went 18 for 36.
Yeah, terrible.
He caught a couple passes out of the backfield, and the key was that he got a goal line carry. So, they're going to go to him on the goal line. So
yeah, five catches. So, I mean, that's definitely relevant, especially in PPR league. And he was the only guy they had.
And Eli seemed to look for him a lot on third down.
Yeah, so it's definitely an option. I like him better. Would you start him over D'Angelo Williams this week if Brandon Jacobs is out?
Yeah, but only because of touchdown. I think D'Angelo Williams is a better player, but Hillis has a better chance to get to the end zone.
Would you rather start Peyton Hillis or Mike James?
Again, Peyton Hillis, because he has a better chance to get into the end zone.
I kind of agree with you there. Speaking of getting the end zone, Ruben Randall has scored in 3 straight games.
Yeah.
It's more, I don't know, he obviously looks good, but what's wrong with Akeem Nicks? He's still looking for his first touchdown of the year, and this guy's just dropping balls now in a contract year. We just didn't expect this at all.
I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I did hear that he got his finger x-rayed after the game on Monday night, so maybe it was, a dislocated finger or a broken finger.
Maybe it could explain the drops, but I mean, he's been struggling all year. It's not just Monday night.
No, you're right. I mean, I don't know, maybe the leg injuries have just finally, taken a toll. He's not as explosive as he's been.
It could just be the offense in general. Victor Cruz was the best Giants player by far, and now even he's struggling as of late. He's been held below 70 yards and without a touchdown in 4 of his last 5. So it's not like any of these guys are...
To be honest, no one's really playing well in the Giants. The only reason they lost is because Josh Freeman... I'm sorry, the only reason they won is because Josh Freeman basically put on the worst quarterback performance I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, give the guy a break. We'll talk about the Vikings
later. I was at the game. I've never had more confidence that when a quarterback dropped back, it was not going to be a completion.
Yeah, it's tough. And now he must have suffered that concussion at some point during the game, so I guess it makes it a little bit harder to play.
Or Minnesota just made it up.
That's possible. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for them at this point. But outside of Josh Freeman on Monday, who had that terrible game, every quarterback who's faced the Giants has thrown multiple passing touchdowns and has had pretty decent games, which bodes well for whoever would be playing quarterback for Philly, which happens to be Mike Vick this week.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike Vick also makes LeSean McCoy a much better player. With Mike, LeSean McCoy averaged 117 yards per game with Vick under center for the first four games of the year, but he's also only averaged about 76 yards per game with Nick Foles. You know, it's like a situation like in Oakland where Darren McFadden is a much better player with Terrell Pryor under center than he was with anyone else. You know, the threat of Vick the run takes the defensive focus a little bit away from LeSean McCoy.
Right, yeah.
So I would expect a bounce back week for McCoy.
Yeah, it's what Tebow did in Denver, the same situation. It just improves the entire running game as a whole. And, I mean, conversely, the guy, Riley Cooper, had 10 catches for 208 yards and a touchdown in his two games with starting with Foles, where he was pretty much useless when Vick was the quarterback. So he's a guy, he's not really an option anymore, even, you know, despite his...
Yeah, Vick is not known to not be the most cerebral quarterback in the league, so he kind of just drops back, looks at his first option, and if it's not there, he just kind of takes off, so it doesn't really surprise me.
You know, we can both agree that DeSean Jackson's going to have better games ahead for him than he's going to play better than he has the last year.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is, just like in their Week 5 matchup, you're basically starting anyone in this game that you can, including Hakeem Nicks, even though he didn't look great. You know, he lit up the Eagles in Week 5. I think he went for 9 for 142. So, you know, especially the Giants receivers, and like I said, I know their offense has been a little off, but Eli actually didn't look terrible, minus the 3 interceptions that he threw against the Eagles. But the Eagles have allowed the most yards per game, touchdowns per game, and fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers this year. So I think even Ruben Randle, who's technically a number 3 wide receiver, I think if you can get him into the lineup, you should.
Absolutely. What's going on? We spoke about it last week. When are the Giants going to trade the King Knicks? Why would they not trade him? Your season's over. Go get a draft pick for him. Put Ruben Randle in there. You're not going to re-sign him.
Well, the Giants are. Here's the thing. Like, everybody's expecting Hakeem Nicks to command this big salary, and the Giants are not going to be able to afford him. But maybe he's not going to get a huge salary because he stinks. So
yeah,
you know, like, seriously, I'm just saying. Maybe the Giants aren't. Maybe it shouldn't be. No, the Giants run a ton of 3 wide receiver sets. So maybe it shouldn't just be assumed that Hakeem Nicks is going to go sign for $11 million somewhere and going to walk away from the Giants. I mean, despite their recent struggles, the Giants are a pretty smart front office. So I think they know what they're doing. I mean, I'd rather take the chance of re-signing Nicks at a discounted price than just getting a fifth-round pick for him.
Yeah,
you're not going to get anything.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The worse he plays, the better it is for the Giants. You know, just as a whole, I guess, too, get the lower draft pick. You almost want them to lose every game for the rest of the season so they compete. They can compete with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are playing against the 49ers this year. Jacksonville, Chad Henne starting again this week despite Blaine Gabbert being healthy. So I think they finally made up their minds. They made the right choice. They know that Chad Henne's the best option at quarterback for this team. And also fantasy-wise, especially for these wide receivers. Blackman, who's had a monster first 2 weeks back from suspension. And now
3 weeks now. Right?
3 weeks, yeah. So, but the first 2 weeks, and now he caught last week 6 passes for 58 yards. Not so bad. He's still a borderline wide receiver 1 going forward. And then he's just so short, so they're not taking much away from him. They've just been behind so much that they constantly have to throw the ball. That's why Schwartz is also averaging 14 targets in his last 5 games. And also their third wide receiver, Mike Brown, who's just quietly walked into the picture. 5 catches for 120 last week, and the Jaguars are going to run 3 wide receiver sets, a lot of them, you know, as long as they're behind.
Right.
So that's good for the 49ers. They're going to stick to their roots as more of a running team, especially since Kaepernick has been struggling throwing the ball a little bit. He did score his first rushing touchdown of the year in Week 7. None of us would have predicted that it would have taken this long for him to run a ball in. And he did have 68 yards rushing, so that's kind of what we thought we were going to get from him all year, but it's nice to see that for the first time. Hopefully he can improve on that going forward.
Yeah, Frank Gore should be a really nice start this week, too. I mean, Jacksonville, I think, are they giving up the most points to running backs? So if not, it's close.
Most yards to
most
running
yards.
Backs.
Yeah, so, and Gore's been his usual self the past 4 or 5 weeks after getting off to a little bit of a slow start. And especially with all the buys, I think Frank Gore is probably a top five player this week.
Yeah, they're just going to, you know, to be honest, this is kind of the same situation we talked about with Denver when I thought Monty Ball could be a viable fantasy option, which I was wrong about. But if 49ers do blow him out, then someone like Kendall Hunter is going to be the guy they put in. You know, Frank Gore, we talked about this multiple times. He's had so many carries over the past few years that they're going to want to rest him as much as possible. And if they do start blowing Jacksonville out, Jacksonville's actually stayed in within reasonable distance of their games of late. So, I mean, I wouldn't start Hunter with confidence, but in the big bye week with 6 teams out, that's not a bad option since he should be a free agent in most leagues. And then we have Anquan Boldin still only has 1 touchdown in his last 6 games. So this is another decent matchup, but then again, just you got to worry about the blowout, and he's not going to get much opportunity. So Cowboys-Lions, this is going to be same as the Giants-Eagles. It should be a fun game to watch, nice offensive shootout, and Romo was actually, the past two weeks he had good matchups, or supposed good matchups, and he struggled, but I mean, here's a third one, so there's a good opportunity for him to get back on track, where Detroit's allowing an average of 314 yards and 2 touchdowns per game over the last 4, and these are against teams who didn't have great wide receivers. Of course, Dallas has a phenomenal core of young wide receivers right now, even without Miles Austin, it looks like Miles Austin's going to miss another game. But Terrence Williams has completely stepped up, scored in 3 straight games. He's just been fantastic. So he's another wide receiver, too, going forward. And then, you know, we have, of course, Dez Bryant. He's pretty much behind Calvin. There's no other wide receiver I'd rather have. Then we have slot receiver Cole Beasley. If Miles Austin does miss this game this week again, which I said I think it's going to happen, Beasley, the slot receiver, caught 6 or 7 targets for 53 yards. So not someone you really want to be looking to start, but in a PPR league, on a deep bye week, it's definitely a decent option. And
if you're in a really deep league, it's not a bad.
Yeah, last on the injury front, looks like DeMarco Murray practiced again. They're going to try it again to play. So, Joseph Randall, thanks for the 1 week of production. Go back to the waiver wire.
If you want to call it that.
Not only that, I mean, even if Randall's not even a handcuff anymore, it looks like Lance Dunbar might play in this game also. So, he's the guy you want to own if DeMarco Murray does get hurt again, which is definitely a possibility. The other side of the ball, Stafford, over the past 2 games, 605 yards passing and 7 touchdowns. So, guys on fire. And this is another great matchup for him. Dallas defense really struggles. Same with everyone in the Lions offense. Reggie Bush, Dallas has been especially bad with receiving running backs. So I love Bush in this matchup. He's been mediocre the past 2 weeks. This is the week for him to break out.
Yeah, I think Dallas has given up the most touchdowns to passes that are 10 yards or under downfield.
It's Reggie Bush's specialty.
Right, exactly.
So,
meaning that they're terrible at tackling and covering guys out of the back.
No matter how you said it, what you meant was start Reggie Bush, which is something you're doing anyway. So,
yeah.
And we have you obviously starting Calvin Johnson, but opposite of him, Chris Durham, 8 targets, only 5 catches for 41 yards last week. But the big news is that again he was heavily involved. So he's a guy, he's a big target, and they're actually throwing to him in red zone situations as well. So it's someone I picked him up on a few teams this week.
Did you drop Ryan Broyles for
him? I didn't like doing it, but I did drop Ryan Broyles on pretty much all my teams weeks ago. I mean, yeah, I was wrong with that call. I apologize, but I'm still sticking by it that he's hurt. There's something wrong with him. It's not.
He's got like ACL injuries.
Yeah, that's part of it. But he just hasn't recovered as all reports indicated. I mean, everyone said he was going to be decent. He's going to be back by the start of the season. But either way, I still. I mean, it's only going to hurt that Nate Brodersen's going to be back eventually. His arm. They think he's going to be back week 12, week 13. So yeah, Ryan Boyle. I'll throw him on the sleeper list for next season again.
Just a little quick update. Mike Williams is active tonight.
Okay.
But, you know.
No, it's important. If you have him, you're probably starting him.
Yeah, I mean.
Decent matchup. You're still. He was Carolina. They've let up the second least red zone touchdowns.
They haven't given up this might be wrong because it sounds really impressive. I don't think they've given up a touchdown to a wide receiver all year.
No, it wasn't. That's not Carolina. That's someone else.
No, I think it's Carolina. No receiver has scored, and only one has reached 6 fantasy points in the last 4 games. I'm sorry.
There's one team that hasn't given up a touchdown. We'll get to that later. I think it's Miami. Yeah, we're going to get that right now. There we go. Perfect. Yeah, so Miami's the only team in the NFL that hasn't allowed a single wide receiver to score this year, which so Rob Gronkowski doesn't qualify for that. So he was back targeted on – he only ran 39 routes, but targeted on 17 of them. So the team ran 52 total. He wasn't in every play.
He's not back in shape yet.
Yeah, no, which is – but still, just the amount of times they targeted him, he caught 8%, 117. He did drop a big pass towards the end of the game, but they said he's going to keep that cast on all year. That's got to hurt. I mean, not hurt. It's got to like hinder his – his playmaking ability.
Are you talking about the one-handed pass that he dropped?
But he could have gotten two hands on the ball. He left his cast hand.
I don't know. That was a tough catch.
No, it was a tough catch, absolutely. But if his arm wasn't bothering him, he would have done another two or tried it with two arms. But
the bottom line with Gronk is he looked. He looked unbelievable for a guy that really hasn't played in a year, basically.
A guy could play. Yeah, he's fantastic. And
he's my number one tight end going forward.
And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but then all of a sudden the Patriots run game gets going when Gronkowski's in the lineup. He even really scored for his second straight game, and it bodes well for him that Miami, while they don't allow many wide receiver touchdowns or any, they are allowing the fifth most points to running back. So Stephen Ridley's actually a nice sneaky play this week. He got the majority of the carries. Let's say I guess we've been saying it for a while, another buy low until he fumbles again, and then that whole theory's out the window. So Brady, still struggling, didn't finish as a top 12 quarterback again. So that makes 6 out of his 7 games where he was below that threshold. But I mean, he's still a quarterback one going forward. Am I wrong? Are you putting in Mike Williams right now?
Yeah.
All right. So
I believe
over there.
I was putting Mike Williams in my lineup, but you said is Tom Brady a quarterback one? No, I don't think so.
Are there 10 quarterbacks you'd rather have than Tom Brady?
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, just off the top of that, going
Rodgers, all right, ready? Rodgers, Peyton, Breeze, Newton, RG3.
That's questionable. All right, go ahead.
RG3 has looked unbelievable the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
Tony Romo, Andrew Luck,
Stafford,
Kaepernick.
Nah. Well, Cutler got hurt. Vic, you're not going to take over.
Rivers?
That's close. You can argue that. Vic, you're not going to take anymore because now he got injured again. Yeah, but he could always get hurt again. I mean,
did I say Romo?
You could argue all these. I think you said Romo.
Matt Ryan?
Yeah. Ryan's been good. Rhinestone?
I mean, the fact that he proved that he could do it without his weapons, and Roddy White is going to be back at some point. I mean, I think he's right there with Philip Rivers. Okay, here's one, ready? And this is actually a serious question, as stupid as it does sound. Terrell Pryor.
Sorry, I knew that was coming. I'd still take Brady. I still put Brady over all those questionable guys just because of Tom Brady and because Gronk's back. You can't hold it against him. I mean, now, just look what Kemba Tompkins, who...
Let me ask you a different thing. Ready? If there is no names in fantasy football, and you just look at stats, is Tom Brady droppable?
Of course. Yeah, but that's not the question. We know who he is, and that's And you
I'm
also
saying,
have to consider
like
now.
Just like with Eli Manning this year, maybe it's just possible that he's not going to put up points this year.
I mean, I wouldn't put. We've gone over this in real life before. I mean, I'm not going to put Eli Manning and Tom Brady in this category.
I'm not either.
In this class.
I'm not
either. No, he just had a bad year, but he's had no one to throw to. I mean, Amendola's back this week. He'll probably get hurt again. But now, just look what. I mean, Brady still, he didn't look great, but he was going against, you know, the Jets' defense is very good. So
they give up passing yards, though.
Yeah, they do, but he still faced pressure all game. And now Kemble Tompkins, he just disappeared the last three. So he's going to look more to use Amendola. Edelman's still reliable. And if Gronk stays healthy the rest of the year, then I got to take Brady over Phillip Rivers, Terrell Pryor, those guys. So definitely take Tom Brady over Ryan Tannehill, despite his throw. He did throw for three touchdowns last week, which was his season high, but you know, he negated a big fantasy day with three turnovers. So he is what he is. He's a decent quarterback, too, in two quarterback leagues. And running back situation. Now, Daniel Thomas, 12 carries for 60 yards, which is pretty good. That's much better than his normal career yards per carry average. And then, but more importantly, more carries than Lamar Miller, rolling in 9 for 43. So they successfully ran the ball. They just don't know who they want as their number one running back. So, I mean, I think
both running backs average almost 5 yards a carry. So it's not like...
Yeah, they're like I said, they were successful. They're definitely successful. So, it's going forward, you're still... Are you confident starting any of these guys? I guess you have to start Lamar Miller over Daniel Thomas. Daniel Thomas isn't even owned in most leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting Andre Ellington over Lamar Miller this week, so that goes to show you how confident I am in Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. And I think this all this shows is that Lamar Miller, is he droppable in 10-team leagues? I guess you still hold on to him. Only if you have I have a few leagues, and I know you face this problem in one of them, too, because you spoke about it before, where you have so many guys on a bye that you're forced to drop guys that you're not, you know, that you would normally be rostered or that have potential.
My thing with Lamar Miller is, like, I'm not saying that you should feel confident starting him or even having him on your team, but, like, who are you dropping him for?
A bye week replacement. That's pretty much all it comes down to.
Exactly, like...
Well, say, like, this is – all right, so next week, for example, only because it's happening to your team, you have three wide receivers on a bye.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to pick up at least one, probably two. Now,
you
have two rosters. So what are you going to do, not start a wide receiver?
No, but it's not in the league that I have two rosters.
I'm just hypothetically. So what are you going to do, not start Lamar Miller? So send in,
no,
now,
but I have guys on my bench that I would drop before Lamar Miller, like Will Sagehi.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, but there's going to be certain instances where Lamar Miller might come into play. Maybe whatever, it's just hypothetical. I wouldn't be a huge fan of it, but I also wouldn't be opposed to dropping Lamar Miller. And then, I mean, I'm sure... So I'm going to waste their waiver wire spot or their waiver spot on Lamar Miller. I find that hard to believe. And then even if that's the case, look, Daniel Thomas already outperformed him this week. So either way, sure. Don't put too much faith into any Miami running back. But the wide receivers, on the other hand, Brandon Gibson scored his first two touchdowns of the year, and I think this is sort of his breakout. He's always had very good games. He's averaging around 5 or 6 catches per game. But he's never gotten the end zone, so his overall fantasy numbers haven't been there. But now, two touchdowns in week 7, this guy, he might be their number one receiver. I think he goes ahead of Brian Hartline. This looks like the guy that Ryan Tannehill has the most confidence in. So
yeah, I just think any wide receiver is not going to be consistent in this offense.
Not consistently great, but you could argue that he's been as consistent as anybody.
I mean, you could argue that he's the one out of the three that's least likely to put up, like, 2 points.
No, absolutely. That's, yeah. That's
Michael Hall is probably the most likely to put up 2 points.
Right. But out of all three of these receivers, if going forward, especially this week, if I had to start one of them, I would pick Brandon Gibson. He'd be the one I choose. And then, of course, we have Charles Clay, who has a touchdown in three straight games now, and four out of his last five. So he's been a great option at tight end, someone people were able to pick up throughout the course of the year. Let's move on. Bill Saints. Fred Jackson, again, more snaps and touches than C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller's hurt. I spoke about this all week. It's like conflicting reports from C.J. himself and his and coach Doug Marrone. Now, I think I read today that it looks like they're finally going to hold C.J. Spiller out for at least a week. He claims that his ankle is not bothering him as much, but something's obviously wrong. He's just not the same player he was last year. And Jackson's doing well enough that they can afford the sixth Spiller.
Yeah, Fred Jackson's like a top 10 running back now.
Yeah, and if Spiller sits, he's pushing top five. He really is.
Especially in the next 2 weeks when he has 16s on a bye.
Yeah, which is unreal. I mean, this guy, he was going 9, 10, 11th round when the season started as a handcuff. But then again, no one could have predicted that C.J. Spiller was going to underperform.
But I have to say, think about the guys that Fred Jackson has outperformed this year so far. C.J. Spiller, Doug Martin, who else was it? Ray Rice.
There's tons of guys. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I can't really think of them right now either.
Does he have more points? I bet you he has more points than Adrian Peterson.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure it's close.
I'm just saying, like,
who else? I mean, even the guys in the middle round, Dan McFadden, David Wilson, Lamar Miller, all these guys were drafted way ahead of him, so.
Stephen Ridley, even though Stephen Ridley looks like he turned it around a bit, but
yeah, Chris Johnson. I mean, just we can talk about this all day, but so the same matchup. Stevie Johnson. He returned in week 7, targeted 13 times, 6 for 61. But Thad Lewis is the quarterback again, and while he's been better than we expected from a practice squad quarterback, I just still don't have any faith in any of these guys, especially since the Saints, you can run on the Saints, but their pass defense has been a lot better over this past year than they were, you know, given the past even 5-6 years where they struggled. So the only guy I really want to start going forward is from the Bills is Fred Jackson. See, I think you disagree with that. I think you're starting Thad Lewis one league. Yeah?
Yeah, so.
Desperation calls. All right. So,
what's your point? Well, first of all, it's a two quarterback league. So it's not.
Yeah, if you're starting Thad Lewis at a one quarterback league, it's forgetting.
Just in case anyone in the league is listening, I actually have a waiver claim dropping Thad Lewis for another quarterback.
Oh, so you guys have to up your bids at the Fab budget league. So you guys have to up your bids if you're looking to get one of those quarterbacks. Marcus Colson hasn't scored since week 1. And his last two games, just 3 catches and 26 yards combined. And it's not like he's not making plays. They're just not targeting him. He's averaging almost 6 targets per game. And so that's not even among the top 60 in the NFL. And the running backs are, you know, Sproles is stealing a lot of targets from him, even Pierre Thomas this year. And, of course, Jimmy Graham. I guess you would assume it would help him if Jimmy Graham sits out, but then again, these numbers, you know, date back to the Patriots game where Jimmy Graham was shut out as well. So why didn't Colson perform in that game either? It's just
are you going to bring it up? Let's get out of the way now. Are you going to bring it up?
Well,
go ahead.
What do I got to bring up?
The fact that I traded for Jimmy Graham in a league.
I wasn't going to say anything. I'm still waiting on an email back from a league member to try to acquire Jimmy Graham in another league. But while we're talking about Jimmy Graham, he did not practice today, so he's going to be questionable for this week. Ugh, killing me.
If I had to guess, you wouldn't play.
Wouldn't play?
Just a complete guess.
Would play or wouldn't play?
What?
Would play?
No, it's not going to.
I'm guessing he is. I think they're just holding him out just so he could read. Kind of like a Calvin situation. He's good enough. These guys are in shape by now. They don't need to practice all week in order, you know, to know the offense or be a factor. So
no, it's not that I don't think he's going to be a shape or anything. It's just I don't think he's going to play. I think he's hurt. They already said that if they weren't on their bye last week, he definitely would not have played.
Yeah, which is, well, the bye came at a perfect perfect time for Jimmy Graham. So, and if he doesn't play, Ben Watson's a backup. Actually had a decent game last week, five or six catches. I forgot the exact number, but and Buffalo's just not that good. So it's a decent matchup for anyone in that situation. Browns at Chiefs. So now Josh Gordon, for the second week in a row, faces a tough matchup. Coming off a season low, two catches for 21 yards on only six targets. And to make things worse, not only for him, to make things worse for Jordan Cameron as well, they benched Brandon Weeden and named Jason Campbell the starter. So I don't know. It doesn't hurt either one of these guys.
They both stink. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I think if anything, I would have rather kept Weeden in there just because he knows the offense a little bit more. But who cares? I mean, it is what it is. Cameron has finished as a tight end one again last week, seven catches, 55 yards and a touchdown, which after a long break, he finally found the end zone again. He hadn't scored before.
Is Cameron turning into like a better Kyle Rudolph?
Nah, he's better than Kyle Rudolph.
Well, that's why I just said, is he turning into a better Kyle Rudolph?
No,
like, is he touchdown dependent now? Like, is that what you're hoping?
No, he still did seven catches last week. It's more of his situation. And granted, Kyle Rudolph is
you can say the same thing about Kyle Rudolph. I don't think Kyle Rudolph's a bad player. I just think
he still had the best running game in the league too last year. But Kyle Rudolph is just completely touchdown dependent. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know the numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Cameron had more catches right now than Kyle Rudolph did all of last year. I think it's probably pretty close.
Yeah, maybe.
Especially in PPR leagues, you got to put Cameron ahead, and just on his athletic ability alone, especially.
I feel like he's, and like I said, I don't think it's him. I think he's a very good player. I feel like he's prone to put up a lot of duds.
Yeah, if you could sell high right now, I wouldn't be opposed to that. We have as far as the Chiefs are concerned, Jamaal Charles, still the only guy with 100 total yards and a touchdown in every game.
Yeah, I feel like we say that every week.
It's true every week, and he's still the only guy. So he's been unbelievable. And like I said, if we redrafted today, he'd be the clear-cut number one guy. I don't think it's even a question. And Green Bowie, he received 9 targets in week 7. So
you're not starting Green Bowie this week against Joe Hayden.
Yeah, Joe Hayden. I think the Joe Hayden factor is a little bit overrated, but Dwayne Bowe's just not that good.
Not when you're talking about Dwayne Bowe. Maybe you're talking about Calvin or something, but not Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, Dwayne Bowe. But it's good to see that he did get 9 targets, so they're actually throwing him the ball now.
Yeah.
Or making an effort.
Yeah, I read something on I forget who wrote it, but it's someone that knows a lot more X's and O's about football than me. And he said, you know, people want to do it Blame Dwayne Bowe Alex Smith on this Dwayne Bowe disappearance that, you know, he just doesn't have a strong enough arm to get him the ball or not. But, you know, he said this guy was going to watch Dwayne Bowe and he just can't get open anymore. He can't eat man coverage. He's just too slow. So, you know, maybe this thing is, you know, Dwayne Bowe is just going to stink from now on, you know. Maybe it's not going to turn around.
Yeah, that's part of the reason, I guess, why he's been so terrible all year. But like I said, at least he got the 9 targets. So, you know, he has potential for the rest of the year, at least. Steelers, Raiders, Le'Veon Bell, a nice 99 total yards against the Ravens defense where he did have 20 touches, but you know, he was making the most out of his opportunities. The Ravens, this is actually one of the games I did watch, the Ravens offense. Our Ravens defense swarmed him at the line of scrimmage, but he made the best of it. Antonio Brown, 6-plus catches in 4 games. He's becoming also one of the more consistent wide receivers. And against the Raiders is a pretty good start.
Yeah, he's a very good matchup this week.
We did talk about him the past few weeks. So Heath Miller, a touchdown or 70-plus receiving yards in each of his last 3 games. So he's good for at least 7 points. I kind of like him going forward. And they even gave him a carry or goal line carry, but a little like toss, whatever you want to call
shovel
pass. Yeah, there you go. For a touchdown, so that's good. That's promising. Just, you know, adding to his stats. Darren McFadden, not only will he be back this week, but he looked, you know, all reports have him looking extremely healthy in practice. I think the time off did him well. He's going to be the number one guy there with Terrell Pryor back at quarterback, which helps him, and mostly Denarius Moore, who scored in three straight with Pryor as his quarterback. So,
yeah, I think the Raiders might have a bad week. I mean, I agree with everything that you just said, but Pittsburgh's defense looks like it's back. You know, they've been really tough lately. Just a few stats. Pittsburgh is giving up 204 yards, 0.83 touchdowns, and 12 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks. The yards is second fewest, the touchdowns is the fewest, and the fantasy points is the third fewest. And since returning from their bye week, the Steelers have not allowed a running back to score and are just giving up 71 yards per game.
Yeah, they've definitely been much better, and I think those stats are a little skewed only because if you look at their secondary has been great, but they started what, 0-4, was it?
Yeah.
So obviously teams are running on them, and that's when their pass defense has been successful. And you look at the past 2 weeks, and their run defense has been successful, and it's two games that they happen to win. So I think it's just just circumstance of them being ahead.
Yeah.
And
I'm also a little worried about Denarius Moore this week, just because Ike Taylor's going to be on.
Denarius Moore, he's interesting. He's a guy who's been a sleeper of recent years. Didn't do much last year. Obviously, he plays a lot better. He likes having Terrell Pryor as his quarterback. But Denarius Moore, who would you rather have in Denarius Moore? I'm trying to think of a good example for him. Say someone. Would you rather have Denarius Moore or Julian Edelman for the rest of the season?
I'm assuming you're talking about PPR.
Yeah. You're always talking about PPR on Monday Morning Hangover.
You asked me a standard league question like two minutes ago.
Well, I clarified standard league.
Denarius Moore.
Okay. Let me try to find a better one. Well, I got a good one here.
I think Denarius Moore is a fringe top 20 wide receiver the rest of the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to, and it's
How about Denarius Moore or Justin Blackman?
Blackman.
I'm not even a huge fan of Blackman. I would agree, but I think it's relatively close. Like, they're kind of close.
Yeah, I think Denarius Moore is more of a product of the situation, and Terrell Pryor, he needs Terrell Pryor quarterback,
okay.
Whereas Justin Blackman could be good in other systems.
Denarius Moore or Hakeem Nicks?
Ooh, probably Moore, unless Nicks gets traded.
Yeah, I think I would go Moore as well.
All right. Jets-Bengals. Jets, now Geno Smith, he's been pretty underrated, and he's looked decent. He could throw the ball downfield, and Cincinnati's secondary hasn't been able to stop many teams' passing games, especially of late. And this is – they got beat up by Brian Hoyer 2 weeks ago, and then 3 weeks ago, and Thad Lewis 2 weeks ago. So these aren't even established, impressive quarterbacks. So Geno Smith, if you have to start him on this bye week, I wouldn't start him one quarterback league. It's a nice two-quarterback play. Chris Ivory, it looks like he's taking over the running back reins now. 34 carries. Yeah, 104 yards on 34 carries. I don't know what to make of that, especially with Vince Wilfork out. Gerard Mayo didn't play. What were they? Yeah, I don't know. What is the situation? If he's healthy, you got to think he's going to get more carries than Bilal Powell.
How long is he going to stay healthy for, though?
Powell took three carries for 6 yards. So they ran the ball 37 times. You can't expect this often for the Jets.
No, not only you can't expect the production, you can't expect that skewed of a workload.
Yeah, but going forward, who would you rather have?
Powell, just because Ivory will get hurt again.
I mean, yeah, I'd rather
they're both
have
healthy,
Ivory,
I'll take Ivory, though.
If you consider in, yeah, if they're now that Ivory is healthy, especially this week against the Bengals, who is a team you could run on, as opposed to the Jets defense where they're giving up a league low 68 yards on 3.1 yards per carry. So I don't like starting Gio Bernard or Ben Jarvis Greenell. So they're just taking production away from each other. I didn't start either one of these guys, even against a defense that isn't the best in the league. Defending the run. Would you healthy Chris Ivory this week? Would you rather start him over Ben Jarvis or else?
Oh, yeah.
That's about Bernard. I'd probably take Bernard in a PPR. Good call, actually. Yeah, PPR, I'd rather have Bernard, too. Non-PPR, I think I would go with Ivory here, just because he's going to get more carries. But Andy Dalton, now, two games in a row with at least 330 yards and three touchdowns. Now, as we talked about earlier in the show, the Jets have a phenomenal run defense, but they can be passed on. So this is a decent matchup. Andy Dalton in one quarterback leagues, he's definitely going to be available in a lot of them. He's a nice little fill-in, and a big part of his success of recent weeks has been Marvin Jones, their third wide receiver, who has a touchdown in three of the last five games. And it's not just the numbers, actually. You know, I watched this game, and I saw Marvin Jones. He made not only big catches, but were impressive catches, too. Got up over defenders and with guys on him. So he's looked good, and he's, for whatever reason, and I'm a big fan of Mohamed Sanu, the Bengals' second wide receiver, and Marvin Jones is just outperforming him. So he should
and
be
why
the
are you a big fan
receiver.
Of him?
It's a back of play.
No, why are you a big fan of him?
Because I saw him single-handedly carry an offense while in college, not in the NFL. But
and where'd he go?
He went to Rutgers. He was good.
Okay,
I mean
if your opinion is going to be biased, you might as well
no, the guy,
no.
No, I like
that. That's all I'm saying.
I said Marvin Jones should be starting over him. I think he's a better wide receiver right now. And for whatever reason, they still have him running significantly less routes than Mohamed Sanu. So also taking away some production. Tyler Eifert, he scored his first touchdown of the year last week, but only three catches for 45 yards. So, you know, he's kind of the same situation as his running back. He's going to split with Jermaine Gresham. I wouldn't be confident in either one of these guys. Next game, Falcons-Cardinals. Matt Ryan completed 20 of his 26 passes for 273 yards and three scores in Week 7 against the Bucs. But more important, I mean, he had another good game. Julio Jones, obviously, out for the year. Roddy White didn't play in this game either. And even with pretty much not having Roddy White all season long, and with Harry Douglas as a second wide receiver, and Tony Gonzalez didn't have a good game until, what was it, week 5 or week 6, whatever it was. Matt Ryan still had...
The Patriots game, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was around that time, but Matt Ryan still had at least two passing touchdowns in every single game this year. So he's been pretty good. He hasn't had that huge breakout game. But I think, you know, Harry Douglas had a nice six catches on all of his targets, which is worth mentioning, for 149 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, when Roddy White comes back healthy, which I think they're going to hold him out again this week, which is good, so he can come back 100%. They learned their lesson with that. There's no point putting him on the field as a decoy anymore when everyone knows he's hurt. So, and then Harry Douglas on the opposite side, so with Tony Gonzalez in there, and then now Steven Jackson should be back this week. So maybe they'll establish a run game. And Jenkins Rogers proved that he could be a nice bear down back, catch the ball out of the backfield. This team has, maybe not this week, but once Roddy White comes back, they're almost at 100%, you know, minus the Julio Jones factor, of course, but they have weapons all of a sudden. You know, as opposed to the Cardinals, where Andre Ellington, he led the team in snaps again, which is good, but it's kind of a Josh Gordon situation, Jordan Cameron situation. These guys their quarterback is just struggling way too much, and which is kind of a result of their offensive line struggles as well. But Carson Palmer, he looked a little bit better last week, which is good, and you know, Larry Fitzgerald, he just didn't look healthy. They didn't target him at all. Michael Floyd led the team in targets again. Rob Houser actually came alive in last week's game. He looked like...
Rob Butler?
House. Going forward this week, I think they did play on Thursday night, so Fitzgerald had more time than normal to rest. So he should be 100% going forward. Definitely helps Carson Palmer. It's no-brainer. You're starting Andre Ellington over Rashard Mendenhall if you had the option, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Especially in PPR leagues, just because the Cardinals look to get Andre Ellington the ball in space, and that includes throwing him the ball. You know, they line him as a wide receiver sometimes, stuff like that. Just to add to what you said, I think, you know, if Carson Palmer can't have a good week this week, then he's probably not going to have a good week against anyone, just because Atlanta's pass defense has been really, really poor. They don't really have a pass rush, and, you know, their secondary is banged up, not that great. So, I mean, I think, yeah, every quarterback to face Atlanta this year has thrown multiple touchdowns, and 5 of the 6 have reached 21 points. So, you know, you're definitely, yeah, you know, like you said, Fitzgerald with the long week. Michael Floyd, who's been really good lately, actually, he has 5 receptions in the last 4 games. He's averaging over 8 targets during, you know, that span. So I think Arizona can actually for once put up some points this week.
Yeah, it's another one of those games which could have a lot of sneaky fantasy production. You know, just another one of those shootouts. But it's not the Cardinals. I kind of like their defense. They've been underrated this year. And we'll see. Howie Douglas did have that breakout game. But if Roddy White's not playing again, he's going to be going against Patrick Peterson, who is, for the most part, shut down opposing number one receivers. I don't think Harry Douglas is good enough that they're gonna lock down Harry Douglas. But you know, it could be one of those situations. Peterson's actually of the I can't say his first name, Tlaib from New England, that mold that they might even put him on Tony Gonzalez if Roddy White doesn't play. He's clearly the most dangerous guy. I mean, that's just speculation.
I don't know if he's big enough. So Tlaib is really big. Where he could play against.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Just one more thing on Andre Ellington. Let's put it this way. Like, when I was going through my team, I go through my teams every Thursday just in case I have people, you know, playing Thursday, obviously. But
it's sound fantasy advice, folks. Go through your teams
so you guys
before games happen.
But, like, you know, usually when you have a guy on a lot of buys, you're like, oh, man, I can't – like when we did the show a couple Thursdays ago and Cleveland played – who, I forget – yeah, Cleveland played Buffalo. I'm like, oh, my God, I had to start Willis McGahee this week. And I put in Andre Ellington. I put in Andre Ellington this week, and I was just like, whoa, this guy's actually got some potential this week. Like, you know, I don't mind. Granted, I'm playing him over Lamar Miller. Not Lamar Miller, but somebody else that's not that good. But, you know, I don't think he's a terrible start this week. Also, how do you feel with, you know, Steven Jackson maybe coming back? About, I mean, Rodgers is what, flex worthy? Do you think he's going to get enough? Is he like in the Roy Helu category where he's going to be enough to maybe possibly still start?
I think you could start him as a flex, especially this week, because they're not going to give Steven Jackson all the carries. But unlike Roy Helu, I'm starting him in a flex for a different reason, because he's going to be. Mainly in PPR leagues, I'm only starting him because he's going to be the third down guy. He's been really good at catching the ball out of the backfield.
Roy Helu, you're starting him for the same reason, though, so they put up decent fantasy points.
No, well, Roy Helu, because Roy Helu he's converted all of his red zone or goal line carries this year, so he's more likely to get touchdown. If it comes down to a goal line carry, I still think Steven Jackson is going to get it, but I think they're going to, on the other parts of the field, I think it's going to be more of an even snap count.
As opposed to
Alfred Moore is completely outplaying Roy Helu in terms of carries and touches.
But Jacquez Rodgers has made it to the point where they don't have to rush Steven Jackson back.
Right, yeah, he's been great and scored twice in each of the last 2 games. So he's been, you know.
On time, he's finally made you look smart after 3 years.
Well, he just hasn't had an opportunity, and now he's getting.
I'm sure you drafted him as a running back 2 last year in the league. And it wasn't like a 22 league.
No, I mean, I knew he was the backup, so I knew he was. He just needed his opportunity, and you know, it just their offense, as we obviously talked about, their offense hasn't been 100%. So if he had Julio Jones and Roddy White, and Michael Turner was good in this offense last year, so if he was the number one guy, I think he could have been better. Anyway, speaking of Roy Helu, let's move on to his Washington Redskins and Robert Griffin, who. Had his best game of the year, I think by far. Season high, 84 yards rushing, which is another thing like Kaepernick. It's points, extra points that we expected when we did use that high draft pick on them. And, you know, 298 yards throwing and 2 touchdowns. So, that's he's not going to put up Stafford, Peyton,
Breeze-esque numbers in fantasy, but the rushing yards help combat that. So, and this week, great matchup against Denver, of course. And that goes for all the skilled players in the Redskins offense. Roy Helu, we just talked about. I guess you're starting him against Denver, especially if...
Oh, RG3?
No, Roy Helu.
Ah.
You're starting Roy Helu because you figure they're going to be behind, and Alfred Morris is just not a receiving guy. So, you think, you know, maybe not even on third down, do you think they're going to bring in Roy Helu a little early?
I don't know. I think depends what their game plan is. You got to assume common sense would say if they go to that no huddle offense.
Yeah.
And you know that it's just kind of playing in the Denver's game, and you know they're going to try to run the ball methodically, but who knows? I mean, if it works, it works. I think Roy Helu, you could throw him in a flex this week. I really do, but you know. Obviously, you can't count on 3 touchdowns. Like, it's, you know, a lot of the reason why Helu scored 3 touchdowns last year is because Moores was the workhorse that got him down the field, and he was tired. So you can't count on that every week, but I think Roy Helu is flex-worthy, definitely this week against Denver. Everybody puts up points against Denver because they're really behind.
Yeah, of course. I'd still rather start Moores this week, obviously, but I really wouldn't be surprised if Helu ended up outscoring him just for this game.
I'm not worried. I own Alfred Morris in the league. I'm definitely not worried about Alfred Morris.
No, not at all. And even though they're going to be throwing the ball a lot more, which is good for Pierre Garçon, who's, while he's had at least 5 catches in every game, just 1 touchdown in the last 4. So I expect that to change. This is the type of game where there's going to be tons of balls to go around, especially for Jordan Reed also, who caught all 9 of his targets for 134 yards and a touchdown last week against the Bears, which he's leading the league in catch percentage per target. Now, the only thing everyone's – me and T talked about this earlier in the week, wondering why everyone's obsessing with Jordan Reed. And to be honest, I haven't seen him play, but there's 3 things that worry me about Jordan Reed. Now, he caught all 9 of his targets, and he's leading the league in percentage of balls thrown to him, catches of balls, whatever, you heard me. So, now, that's just almost, like, that's not going to happen all year.
Not sustainable.
Yeah, he's not going to maintain that throughout the entire season. And this came, you know, during RG3's best 2 games of the season. So, it's not, you can't expect this from him all year. Playing against the Bears defense, who, they're extremely overrated. They're just not that good this season. I actually... granted, they're on a bye this week, but I dropped them just flat out. And if I don't get them, I really don't care. I'll just stream defenses the rest of the year. So
yeah, no, they give up a lot of points and a lot of yards, but they are very good at making turnovers.
Yeah, and while my third reason, Fred Davis was healthy and active for this game, which means they think Jordan Reed is the better player. But what took so long? If he was that good. Fred Davis hasn't been good in years. He really hasn't. He just hasn't been a tight end one. So if he was that good from the beginning, then they wouldn't have given Fred Davis a chance. So, I mean, Jordan Reed, besides for Doug Martin getting hurt and Mike James, I think Jordan Reed was the number 2 waiver guy this week in a heavy week for waiver wire pickups as opposed to the rest of the season. But, I mean, just keep temper your expectations is all I could say. As opposed to, don't do the same with the Broncos offense this week going against the Redskins defense. You're starting, you got to be excited if you own anyone on the Denver offense. Peyton Manning, league-leading 25 passing touchdowns. Wes Welker and Julius Thomas tied with 8 receiving touchdowns. And even Noshon Moreno, who just now more than solidified his job as the number 1 running back on Denver, which as if we didn't know that already. But Ronnie Hillman fumbled a goal line carry. See you later. There's just Moreno's going to get every single carry for this team from now on until he gets hurt, which is definitely possible. He's been hurt every year that he's played, right? Up until now.
Yeah, I mean, that or just not good. I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, you're starting all those guys. Packers, Vikings, Eddie Lacy, at least 24 touches in 3 straight games. So he's a guy there as well. This is another situation like Denver where we got used to a committee. But
But now it looks like he's the guy who's breaking through, and as long as he can stay healthy, like the opportunity he has there. The guy who broke out, Jarrett Boykin, who we mentioned on last week's show, neither one of us, you know, along with the rest of the world, have never seen him play. So we didn't know what to make of it. But it looks like James Jones is going to be out again. We know Randall Cobb is out to at least week 15, I believe, week 15 or 16. So
yeah,
Jarrett Boykin is the number two receiver in this high-scoring Packers offense going against a terrible Vikings defense. And last week caught 8 of his 10 targets for 103 yards and a touchdown in his first career start, no less. So you've got to figure it's only going to get easier for him. I don't expect him to put up these huge weeks, you know, every single game, but I like him as a, you know, absolutely, he could be a wide receiver too from now on. Jordy Nelson became the first wide receiver to score on Joe Hayden, which obviously I think, you know, Joe Hayden, he's obviously still a very good corner. So that was impressive from Jordy Nelson, and he's actually the best among the 50 most targeted receivers in the NFL in yards and points per target. So he's making the most out of when Aaron Rodgers throws him the ball. He's not just a product of his system, where what I think Jarrett Boykin is, but then again, he is part of the system, so he's going to get production. We said James Jones probably out for this game. Jermichael Finley, he almost died, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty close.
We joke around about people dying and getting injured. Yeah, Jermichael Finley almost did.
Yeah.
So, you know, best wishes to him. Adrian Peterson, speaking of things dying, Adrian Peterson's kid died 2 weeks ago, and he just hasn't been the same player since. Just 90 yards rushing the last two games on 23 carries total. So, I mean, I talked to my friend who's a Vikings fan today, kind of ripping on Adrian Peterson, but the same thing happened last year where he came on at the end of last season, so he wasn't too impressive. It's just his past few games.
I don't think the Vikings offense was this bad this last year.
No, they really weren't. And they have just a carousel of quarterbacks, which it's hard to maintain a consistency when you're going from Josh Freeman to – or from Christian Ponder to Matt Castle and Josh Freeman and back to Ponder, which is kind of the same reason that all the wide receivers, including tight end, are struggling. Patterson at least had a season-high 25 snaps, which only 25 snaps, I mean, and that's a season-high. So you're really not starting any one of these guys unless you're desperate.
What do you think about Greg Jennings this week? Going back to it's in Minnesota. But.
Well, playing against his old team, so he's going to be motivated.
He did see 10 targets last week. You know, it's Greg Jennings, you know, if the quarterback can get him the ball, he can still make plays after the catch. So if he's going to see 10 targets, it's only a matter of time before he makes a play.
I think it's a little worse of a chance with Ponder at the helm instead of Josh Freeman. But if I had to start any Vikings wide receiver, I would start Greg Jennings. But like I said, just don't – whatever. Big bye week, so.
I'm starting Greg Jennings in the league at the flex.
Yeah. Another reason you might have to start Kyle Rudolph, who, while he only had 3 catches for 27 yards in week 7, he was targeted on 9 passes, but that was from Josh Freeman. So, Ponder's been his quarterback for the past, year and a half, so – And he just hasn't done much with it except for the touchdowns. When Josh Freeman comes back, I like Rudolph a little bit better. You mentioned Freeman suffered a concussion last week, so that's why they're putting in Ponder. I think they were better with Matt Castle. I guess it doesn't matter much anyway, but whatever. So we actually we're going to do something a little bit different before our last game. We're gonna call in Const. We got Const online. As I said, nice 5-2 week from Kant. He chose to do 7 games, and I believe, Kant, I believe you, the 2 extra games you added, you got them both right, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, you would have been 3-2. Would have been 3-2, but that's intuition. It's intuition, folks, and that's what it takes. That's what it takes to place bets and win bets in this average, this parody ridden NFL. So we're gonna go back to Kant. As I mentioned, I think I'm gonna listen to Const picks from now on. Listen up, Const.
Hello.
right, here we are. Week eight is upon us. Coming off a bounce back week, to say the least. I could have easily had a 3-2 week, but my intuition, because of a lot of games I liked, I added two more, and sure enough, voila, 5-2. You know, this, believe it or not, this week's slate has a lot of heavy favorites. You know, not too many marquee games as opposed to last week, but we're going to do our best here. I think we're going to have another good week. Real quick before I get into the picks, just a quick shout-out to my New York Jets. I'm very proud of them. I want to said last week they would win the game, that they did. But I'm going to start things off with them again this week. I don't want to do this, but unfortunately, I am picking the Cincinnati Bengals as my first pick, weighing the 6.5 points. I honestly don't want to talk about the game much because, you know, I think the Jets are going to lose. But, you know, I think they're coming off an emotional win. The Bengals have a stout defense. You know, they're not going to run the ball with as much, you know, not that they ran it too efficiently last week, but, you know, the Bengals' front seven is a whole different animal in comparison to the Will Forkless New England Patriots. So I'm going to take the Bengals, and I'm going to hope I'm wrong, but Bengals minus 6.5 for the first pick. We move on to Cousin Mo's Detroit Lions, who were at the hands of another tough loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Naturally, I picked the Bengals, but this week things are going to be different. I love the Lions against Tony Romo and the Cowboys, laying the 3 points. Listen, the Cowboys are comfortably in first place. The Lions, you know, they're going to be competing with the Packers for first place and the Bears as well. Even without Cutler, you know, the Bears still have a 4-3 record. I think the Lions get it done this week. Matthew Stafford's going to throw all over that poor secondary, and Tony Romo's going to do what Tony Romo does in critical spots on the road. He's going to screw up. And on to the third pick, we like the Miami Dolphins getting a 7 against the New England Patriots. Do I think the Dolphins are going to win this game? No, absolutely not. They're not going to win this game in New England. But, I mean, New England, this isn't the New England of years past, you know. They don't blow teams out. They don't have the same explosive offense. Yes, Rob Gronkowski came back, but, you know, they're still, I mean, we've seen what Tom Brady's done so far this year. He's having a pedestrian year, to say the least. Once again, I think the Patriots win this game, but I think the Dolphins, the defense hangs tough. You know, they don't turn the ball over much. I think they're going to, you know, play a decent game and cover those 7 points. And on to the next game, we got a couple terrible teams coming up. People might turn off the podcast, but we're taking the Cleveland Browns, getting a 9.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, I mean, if anyone who wants to anoint the Chiefs as a, you know, as a Super Bowl contender, but they beat the Houston Texans by 1 point to a quarterback who started his first game ever last week. 1 point at home. And I picked the Texans, might I add, but you know, the Browns, I believe they lost by, you know, 2 touchdowns or so to the Packers last week. I mean, that's Aaron Rodgers. And they're going to be going against Alex Smith. I'd say there's a bit of a, you know, talent disparity between the two. So I think the Browns, they're certainly not going to win, but they'll cover the 9.5 points. They got a nice defense. I think they'll make things, you know, a little bit more difficult than usual for the Chiefs, but they'll cover the spread, like I said. On to the next pick, we go to reverse. We go into tonight's game, actually. I like the hapless, winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers to somehow cover the 6.5 points against the Panthers. Listen, if there's one game I'm going to be completely off on, it's this one. The Panthers could easily go in there and blow them out. But I don't know, just the fact that they're winless, Mike Glennon hasn't looked half bad. Although the Panthers have a ferocious front seven, you know, I think, you know, Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams can make some plays against down the field against that Panthers secondary. And, you know, hey, if the Bucs front seven, you know, knocks Cam Newton around a little bit, I think they'll definitely cover the spread. I fully expect the Panthers to win this game, but, you know, a lot of times with these sneaky 6.5 point lines, the team laying the points will win the game, but they won't cover the spread. So taking the Bucs at the 6.5. Here we are next, but we got 2 more picks left. All right. We are, and this was probably the team that performed the absolute worst last week, and people were really going to, you know, beat me up for this one, but I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings getting the 9.5 against the Green Bay Packers. You listen, Cousin Mo. The Packers, yeah, on paper, they should win this game by 40 points. But, I don't know, there's something about these, you know, these horrific teams where, you know, you get embarrassed a couple weeks and then, you know, you have a, you know, they're playing division rival. It's a nationally televised game. They're at home. I don't know. Like I said, the Packers are definitely going to win this game, but I don't know. Just something about this line seems a little fishy. You said Christian Ponder's playing, Cousin Mo, correct? Christian Ponder's playing. I mean, he definitely can't be worse than Josh Freeman last week, I'll tell you that much. So, you know, the Vikings are playing for pride. Division rivals coming in, national TV, they don't want to get embarrassed. So somehow, some way, I think the Vikings cover that 9.5-point spread. All right, we went through six picks, and we're saving the lock of the week for last here, in contrast to other weeks where we usually tell everyone the lock first. But I've been waiting all year to say this. I have not picked this team once yet, but we're going to say it now. Conte's lock of the week is the Raiders getting the 1 point against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, everyone's on the Steelers now. They won two in a row. They're, you know, they're trying to get back into the thick of the playoff hunt. But what people, yes, the Steelers, you know, trust me, I have the utmost regard for Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin and that defense. You know, they're not as bad as their 0-4 record said they were. They've won two in a row since then. But the Raiders are not a half-bad football team, folks. You know, the last time we saw them on national TV, they trounced the San Diego Chargers at home. I expect them to win this game this week. You know, I think the defense is going to get to Big Ben. I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to run the football against this Raiders team. And what is the Steelers' defense, you know, when they go up against pocket passers, Dick LeBeau, he'll make life a living hell for, you know, he'll mix up all kinds of blitzes. You know, they got a very sound secondary, you know, veteran guys, you know, all over the place. But I think Terrell Pryor is going to cause problems for this Pittsburgh defense. I think they're going to, you know, run the football, you know, manage the clock, move the chains. And I think the Raiders come out on top. And it's going to be a terrible loss for the Steelers. But, you know, that's the reality of it because it's constant lock of the week. The Raiders over the Steelers. Cousin Mo, hopefully we're looking at another 5-2 weeks. You want to wrap things up?
Don, real quick, if you could just wrap it up again, just name, roll off your seven picks.
All right, here we go. The lock of the week is Oakland +1 over the Steelers. Cousin Mo's Detroit Lions laying the 3 against the Cowboys. Dolphins +7 against the Patriots. We got the Tampa Bay Bucks getting 6.5 against the Panthers. And to round things out, we have Cleveland +9.5 over the Chiefs, the Bengals -6.5 over my Jets, and the Minnesota Vikings +9.5 over the Packers. And, Mo, wrap it up.
All right, there it is. Todd, what are you expecting, 7-0 week? 7-0 week, 5-6-1. Take a 6-1. All right, we just switched it up. We did a little different only because Monday night game might be the least relevant fantasy game as far as the teams are concerned. Seattle at St. Louis. Percy Harvin, surprisingly, was supposed to be out almost all year. Could be back as early as this week. But they're going to make the playoffs. They're still going to play for home field advantage, which is you know, something that's going to be worth it to them, especially with that home field. So they might limit him as much as possible. I don't know why they're going to rush him back. But Percy Harvin needs to be rostered in all leagues. And Marshawn Lynch has a nice matchup since the Rams are allowing most fantasy points to running backs in the NFL this season. As far as the Rams are concerned, you're not really not starting anyone on their offense now, that especially since Sam Bradford's out for the year. Zach Stacy's the only guy you're going to consider as the workhorse running back on this team. He caught a touchdown against the Panthers, but other than that, the Rams still don't have a rushing touchdown all season long. And I don't think anything's going to change against this stout Seattle defense. So, Stacy, like I said, he's the only guy you're going to consider starting under these circumstances. Yep. Other than that, you're pretty much dropping every wide receiver and tight end on the Rams offense.
Yeah, the only thing I would look for as far as the Rams go is if Kellen Clemens does indeed start, like, does he lock into a receiver? You know what I mean? Does one receiver just get so many more targets because he's a favorite target of Kellen Clements? Like, if
none of these guys are like are that dominant. Or
no, but if Austin Pettis is going to start getting 14 targets a game, maybe he's worth the roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, perhaps. But yeah, cause they've all been pretty good. Especially, well, Pettis has been pretty good throughout the course of the year. What this does is all but eliminate Chris Gibbons from fantasy contention because all he's been is a deep threat, and Kellen Clements just
stinks.
It's not especially. He doesn't have many specialties except filling in for injured quarterbacks. I think he's been pretty decent at that, just taking the place. So, as I said, not much. You know what's a great matchup? The only thing you feel confident here, Seattle's defense against the Rams' offense. That's a great play. But
is this game in Seattle?
It's in St. Louis.
Doesn't matter.
The big thing, just watch to see what happens with Percy Harvin, especially if he does play, to see how he is. His burst off the line, and what he does after the catch. That's where he makes his money and gets his fantasy points. So, all right, that covers that. That's the end of the show. That's all the time we have today. Next week, we're actually going to change it up a little bit since it's another 16 bye week. What we're going to do is incorporate our midseason award. It's going to be week 8 after this week. It's going to be the halfway point for most fantasy seasons since they do end in week 16, the fantasy playoffs. So we're going to do stuff like midseason MVP, best draft pick, sleepers, bust, stuff we think is going to happen going forward. You know, just the basic stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting. If you guys want to come up with your own and call in, then just let us know. We'll definitely converse with you about that. As I said, that's it. And tonight's game is about to start, Carolina versus Tampa Bay. This is Mo for T and Cons. We're the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. Best of luck this weekend. The way we take it to the house.